There's one way for sure that the first century church is very different than the church today. There's one thing that they did not have to deal with that Christians today do have to deal with. Today we are regularly confronted with the concept of denominationalism. It's really everywhere around us. Everything we look at, most discussions that we have religiously with people in the world involve this concept or this idea. And you've been in this situation before. You're at some kind of social event, and you're with a group of acquaintances. Maybe it's a work party, or maybe you're at work just discussing some things with people. Maybe you're at school, and you're with friends. And somewhere along the line, religious discussions come up, and people begin discussing things that are going on at the congregation they're a part of. And affiliations begin coming up, and you know where this is going. You've been there before. And while everyone's talking, you're wheels are turning, and you're wondering what you're going to say when all the eyes come to you. And you're debating. Do I want to have a 10 to 15 minute discussion about where I go to church and where I worship? Or do I want the eyes to glance and then bounce off of me to somewhere else as quickly as humanly possible? And as the person next to you says, well, I'm a Baptist, and I go to this church over here, and you realize the other lady next to you said she goes to some place that starts with Saint, and so you know she's a Catholic, suddenly the question comes to you, and in a moment of panic, you say, I'm Church of Christ. And then, of course, the discussion goes on. I want us to think about that statement just a little bit tonight. Or maybe the other way in which that goes. Maybe someone knows you a little bit better in that room. And they say, hey, aren't you Church of Christ? You have to try to figure out some response to that. So I want us to think for just a minute about how we can discuss some of these spiritual situations that we get in with people. And maybe the appropriate way to think through this and to interact with people when we get in these opportunities, is really what they are, to then talk to people about our beliefs, to talk to people about Scripture. And I want us to think about the idea, as Paul states it to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, in sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may not be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. I want us to think about this idea of sound speech. It's really the idea of healthy speech. Maybe we can put that in a little bit different type of terminology. Saying the right words. Saying things the right way. The wise man in Ecclesiastes said, that's what the preacher does. Right? As he's writing, he says that the preacher, he searches for the right words. And they're like nails that are driven in when he chooses well. And the statements are made correctly. And people really are able to grasp on to what the preacher is saying. That's like words being chosen well, the wise man says at the end of Ecclesiastes. And I would suggest to you tonight that it's not just Titus, and not just Timothy, these men that Paul wrote to and their specific ministries and the work that they were a part of. It's not just them that needed to do this, but it's also all of us as we are interacting with people and we have these opportunities to discuss spiritual realities, but we need to be the kind of people who have thought through these scenarios. Because sound speech is extremely important. I want to talk about why tonight and talk about some tips for these spiritual discussions that we find ourselves in so often and think about how we can do this well. First of all, let me tell you what I think is the first and most key idea as we get into these discussions with people, and that is try to get rid of the labels. Try to get rid of all the things on the side and focus on belief. Focus on faith. Open Scripture. If you don't have Scriptures before you, quote Scripture. Think about Scripture. And here's the reality about this discussion that I just mentioned to you before, one that I'm sure almost all of you have been in before. That scenario that you've been a part of when you begin talking about spiritual things and now we have to talk about where we worship. and what that means to us. I want us to think about this. And some of our young people are gone tonight, and that's okay. Those of us who are older, I want us to think about this, and I want us to think about the impact of our words sometimes when we're around our young people and the way that we say things and what maybe they take from that. Because it has a huge impact on the way that they think. And I believe the first thing we need to understand when we get into these kinds of discussions is we need to get into belief, get into faith, and get out of labels. Labels, they really interfere with most dialogue. We begin discussing something and then maybe we find out where someone worships, or they find out where we worship, and sometimes that just shuts the discussion down altogether. Why do we want to do that? I think for the most part it's just convenient. It takes some of the pressure off. You know, we lay all the cards on the table and we say, this is where we worship, this is where you worship. I guess we're just not going to agree, and now we move on and we can go on to something else that's a little bit easier to discuss. And in our world, I certainly think that's a big part of it. Even in the denominational world in general, there is such a push now to just unify everything and everyone just come together and just forget about all the differences and not discuss all the differences, but we're just going to make it all good and wonderful in the midst of all the conflict that really is there. And I believe the reason for that is they really do understand what the scriptures say, the reality that there's supposed to be unity. And that just accepting problems and accepting differences is not okay. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree on every single thing, but we should at least be endeavoring to get into Scripture and think about Scripture and discuss Scripture and not just accept that we may disagree on some pretty important things. What about this idea of I'm Church of Christ? Well, I would suggest this tonight, that congregational names are descriptions, and they are not titles. Now, this is probably something that most of you have thought about before, or have heard before, but sometimes reminders are good. And I'm saying all of this because over the last few months, I have heard those kind of statements numerous times. I get it. It's easy. It's convenient. Sometimes we make these kinds of statements to each other, and we'll come back to a few of those later on, because it's just easy, and we know what each other, what we're talking about. But sometimes in the midst of that convenience, it brings us down a road that's actually not good. And thinking in some ways that are not accurate, that are not true. And the reality is there is no official name for the Lord's church. We've got to get out of these labels. Yes, this sign that we put out front, the sign that other faithful congregations put out front, it works. It's appropriate. You may already know this, but really the only time this appears in Scripture is in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, when he's talking about all the churches of Christ greet you. That's the only time Church of Christ ever appears in Scripture. There are a number of other ways in which it is mentioned. And in fact, we could even take the word that we translate church and we could give it all kinds of different translations, assembly, congregation. And then we could twist that and turn that into all kinds of different descriptions that we could put out there on that sign that when people see, they can understand what we're trying to accomplish. And that's what it is. It's a description. It's not a title. It's not some kind of official title handed down from Christ Jesus, who is the head of the body, so that we all know the right name to have out on our sign. That is not the way it works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there he talks about the church of God that is in Corinth. In the letter to the Thessalonians, he just says to the church of the Thessalonians. He doesn't call it the church of God. He doesn't call it the church of Christ. He just says to the Thessalonian church. Now, he does qualify it by indirect object, in or by or through God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he qualifies what this assembly is about, but in the reference to who they are in general, he just says the church of the Thessalonians. Or maybe here's another one, and sometimes we get really worried about these kinds of descriptions. In fact, I think, now I can't state for sure here, but I think it may make some of us a little bit uncomfortable if there was a group out there that used this description. What if we knew of a group that called themselves The Way? Now, be honest, how comfortable would we be with that? Did you understand that in Scripture this is used numerous times? 5 times alone in the book of Acts. Much more than Church of Christ. That Paul or others refer to the way. Paul was going to go and he was going to try to take people who were a part of the way, and he was going to persecute them. This is how he refers to them. Later on in chapter 26, he's speaking there before authorities, and he's describing to them the situation. He says, the way, which they call a sect of the Jews. And they recognize this is a group of people, in that time at least, there were a separate group of Jews who were called the way. And of course, we would call those people Christians, a term we're also very comfortable with. It's only used 3 times in Scripture. Saints is used a whole lot more, but we refer to Christians, those who follow Christ. That's what we would call these people who Paul says are in the way. And the point of all of this is not that there's something wrong with what we put out front. It's perfectly fine. It's appropriate. But there's also a lot of other ways to designate and describe who God's people are. And it may be that you're visiting with us tonight. Maybe you don't know a whole lot about what we're about. And what I want to tell you tonight is that what we're about is truth. What we're about is what's here in Scripture. And what God reveals to us about the congregation, about the assembly of Christ, about who we are supposed to be from Scripture. We aren't interested in what men have handed down to us or what some convention has told us. Those things may be accurate in some ways according to what Scripture has told us, but what we're really concerned with is what's right here in this book. And if that's what you're looking for, you're in the right place. That's what we're trying to do. We might not always do it right, but we want to. And that's what we're trying to accomplish here. And it's not about just some name on the sign that designates us in some certain way, and then we can just have all confidence to know that this is just the right group of people to be in because the sign has the right 3 letters and 3 words on it. It's just a description. The names are for identity. And so when people ask us where we worship, we can say the Kleinwood Church of Christ. It's right there on Kleinwood Drive in Luetta. It's identity. It's knowing where it is and what it is. It's a description. We belong to Jesus Christ. We could say we are the assembly of God. We are people congregated as an assembly of God's people. We could say we're a congregation of Christ. There's all a number of ways in which we could describe who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. And this may be easy for most of you. Maybe you already know all this. I really hope that we all do. But the reality is there's a lot of people in the world, especially, who don't. And there may be people among us who don't understand all of this. And I would suggest maybe that is the case based on sometimes the language that's used and the way we talk. And at the very least, it can be a little bit confusing sometimes. By the way we phrase things or the way we say things. And so what I'm asking tonight is that we step back for just a moment and we take a little bit of care in thinking about the way we talk about the Lord's church. And rather than focusing so much on labels and classifying people in certain places, really just focusing on what's here in Scripture and what we believe. And people a lot of times are into creeds, they're into confessions. And I think there are some confessions that we can make. For example, I can confess this because it's right here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Jesus was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. That's a confession that I can make. We can confess this great mystery of godliness, Paul says. And so there are a lot of things I can confess. There's a lot of things I can state as statements of faith. But that's because they come from this book right here. Because there are things that God has revealed to us. It's what God has told us he expects from us. And we have it right here before us. We can read and we can study and we can understand. And all the while, I believe we should use good speech. Say these things well. So not only do others understand us, but it forms the right kind of thoughts in our own mind. The way we talk has a huge influence on the way we think, and vice versa. It really can make a difference if we allow ourselves to talk loosely and to not think about what we're talking. That can lead to some bad actions. It can lead to bad thoughts. And we may know intellectually, we may know deep down what is true, but after time after time after time of saying what's convenient and saying what's easy, not only may we give other people the wrong idea, we may get the wrong idea ourselves. Or at the very least, be a little bit confused about what the truth actually is. And so we need to think about beliefs rather than labels. I would say, secondly, along with that, we need to give answers that promote study and accuracy. We need to be into the idea of getting into Scripture and studying Scripture and thinking through Scripture. And along with that, speaking with grace. Let our words be seasoned with salt. We don't have to be abrasive to people. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be ugly. We can interact and we can have this dialogue about what the truth is and what Scripture says without any ugliness, while at the same time being focused on accuracy. Now, I know we see in the world around us, especially on the internet, very little of that sort of thing. So quickly, discussions turn hateful and ugly. People disagree and they begin attacking each other. And that's certainly not the direction that we ought to go. And unfortunately, we see quite a bit of that, if you pay any attention at all, even in religious discussions, unfortunately. But if we're going to listen to what Scripture has to say about how we handle these things, it's not that we're just never going to discuss things, that we're never going to have disagreements. That's unreasonable. That's just not going to happen. But it's the way in which we go about having these discussions and dialoguing over things that we think or how we're interpreting Scripture, that there needs to be discussion. There needs to be consideration. We have to be people who are concerned with accuracy, with study. And Paul tells this to Timothy, doesn't he? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's interesting, kind of the book ends to what he's discussing here, this vain speech, quarreling about words in chapter 14, and this irreverent babble in verse 16 that's leading people astray. Here's what he tells Timothy: do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, or it may say accurately handling the word of truth in the version you're holding in your hand. Pretty important, Paul's telling Timothy. It's not about winning an argument. It's not about making somebody else look bad and making yourself look good. It's not about getting other people to support you in what you're saying, give you the most likes in that Facebook discussion. That's not what really matters. What's truly important is that we present ourselves approved to God, that we're studying to show ourselves approved, that we're a worker, that we're diligent, that we're concerned with study, that we're concerned with truth. And that when we hold up our beliefs, we don't have to be ashamed about them. We've studied them. We've thought through them. We've handled the Word of God accurately. And now we can present that information in a way that may lead others to want to study and want to take in the truth of God's Word. And so it may be tempting to say, well, I'm Church of Christ. Or to maybe just let it pass when someone says, oh, you're Church of Christ, aren't you? And we kind of just let it go. Now we can move on with something else. Let me suggest to you there's another way. And let me start here just confessing myself that I've done this very same thing. So I'm not different than anyone else. It's just easy sometimes, isn't it? But some things are important enough to talk about. Some things are important enough not to just take the convenient way out, to take some time for explanation. And what I'm not telling you that you ought to do or you have to go do is to get in some deep theological discussion with somebody and nail them down and not leave the coffee table or wherever you're at until you've thoroughly thought through all kinds of passages of Scripture. It may be appropriate to do that. It may be just appropriate to say, really, I'm just a Christian. I just believe the Bible. I believe in the authority of Scripture. And I gather with other people who believe the same thing. And we're just trying to accomplish what the Word of God says. And we do belong to Christ. That's why we call ourselves the Church of Christ, Climate Church of Christ, because we're a Christ. We are His. And as a congregation, we are His. And just take a couple minutes to explain the name that's on that sign, to describe why it is what it is. And not just let that moment pass, where then everyone goes on about their business doing other things. It's an opportunity. And so I challenge you and myself to take that opportunity, to take that moment to say something that's interesting, to say something that's different maybe than what they've heard before. Oh, they're familiar with Church of Christ, and then they'll tell you all the things they've heard about Church of Christ, that they don't believe in music, and they think they're the only ones going to heaven, or whatever other reference that they've heard. But we can take that opportunity to bring something up that's interesting, that maybe changes their mind and helps them see something from a little bit different perspective, that doesn't cause them to just label everyone that happens to go to a Church of Christ into one category. And most of all, may help them point toward accuracy in Scripture, toward deeper study, toward thinking, man, that guy's a little bit different. He's kind of weird. Why does he think that way? And it might be that we interact with just the right person who's willing to dig, who's willing to study, who's willing to open his Bible or her Bible and to look into what we're saying and say, why would he say something like that? Or why would she say something like that? And who knows what could happen just from a small explanation. What if we all committed to do that in these kinds of situations? Rather than just letting the moment pass, rather than just letting it breeze over and move on to something a lot easier, what kind of impact may it have if we took these opportunities just to explain for 2 or 3 minutes? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that suddenly we'd be bringing all kinds of people into this building and converting hundreds of people a year. I can't say that that would happen. But maybe it would open the door here and there for some people who truly are interested in searching for truth and think, that's interesting. That is what the Bible says, what you just told me. I want to talk some more about that. And maybe as pertains to people who gather here on a regular basis. Maybe some of our young people who get these ideas, well, the Church of Christ, it's just another denomination. It's just the same everywhere you go. Let me stop for just a second and say I've been to a lot of congregations in my life. I'm not all that old. At least I don't think so. I've lived in Vermont. I've lived in the Northeast. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Alabama. I've lived in Tennessee. I lived in Kentucky. I've lived in Texas a couple times. And I can say that not one of those congregations is just like another one. Now, there's going to be a lot of similarities because we all open the same book. And if we're trying to do the Master's will, if we're trying to do what God says, then there ought to be some similarities. There ought to be some things that we do that are the same. He tells us that we should be singing, and he tells us we should be praying, and that we should be opening the Word of God and studying together, and that we should be assembling. And so I would hope that a lot of those things would be done the same way since God is giving the same message to everyone. But I want us to think about this idea and realize that doing things similarly or doing things the same way, that is not denominationalism. There is a big difference between having some kind of central body who's telling you what you have to believe and what you have to teach and this spreading out over numerous local congregations, and now it's handed down to you from somebody else. There's a big difference between that and having congregations with people who come together who believe in the Word of God and believe in the authority of Scripture, who are searching for truth and in reality sometimes disagree. You realize there's actually freedom, a lot more freedom, within a body that is not denominational. It might be kind of shocking. But the reality is, in some of these denominations, if people actually went and looked at what they had for statements of faith, they may have a hard time with some of what's there. I would suggest challenging some people on some of those things sometimes. Maybe you have a good friend who is a part of a congregation that's a denomination, and they feel maybe like you do on things like homosexuality. And say, well, what does your denomination say about that? How are you going to handle that? Maybe some opportunities to open doors. But cooperation and connection to others who are God's people, to others who are believers, is not denominational. In fact, within Scripture, it talks about brotherhood. 1 Peter chapter 5, talking about the sufferings that some of them are facing, are no different than the brotherhood throughout the world. It's recognizing that there are people throughout the world who are part of their brotherhood, who are their family, who are followers of Jesus Christ, who are part of the body of which that Christ Jesus is the head. They are together in this. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again, he says, you're called to be saints together with all those in every place who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing wrong with cooperation and commonality. And cooperation and commonality do not make people denominational. The fact that we can recognize that there's someone else over here who does things the same way that we do and believes the same thing that we do, that's not denominational at all. It's a very strong reality that you may be opening the same book and reading the same things and coming to the same conclusions and realizing this is truth and I need to follow the truth and do the will of God, that there are other people out there who are saints, who are holy ones of God, who are also trying to do the will of God, who are trying to follow the truth. And so same things being the same doesn't mean that anything is denominational. That is not the definition of denominational. I hear a lot of this sort of thing, especially from younger people who are challenging things they've seen. Well, it's just like any other denomination. I would say this to you. You don't know what other denominations are if you think that's true. And the same sorts of problems or difficulties that you see are there and present in every other heritage, as we tend to call them. I don't care what it is. Whether it's Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or Catholic or whatever, you can go find, you'll see all the same complaints that anyone else is making in any other group. Because when you get groups of people together, people complain. And that's the way it is. You have differences of opinion. You have differences of thought about various things sometimes don't even relate to Scripture. And that's just how people are. But we need to make this clear, and we need to understand what denominational is and what denominational isn't. And where I'm heading next with this is the reality that sometimes we do speak in ways that are denominational. And that can be extremely confusing. Sometimes we do speak in ways that are not entirely accurate, or we get concerned about some things because we think, well, that's denominational, so we don't want to say certain phrases. I remember, and I don't think this is too much of a problem anymore, which is one reason why I'm using this example, but I remember this being an issue a number of years ago, the phrase church family. Well, I don't know, that's denominational. No, it's scriptural. God is Father. Jesus Christ is our brother. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And this idea of what's called fictive kinship is all throughout Scripture. The idea that we are the household of God, that we are a family. And just because someone we disagree with on various other matters uses a phrase doesn't mean it's wrong. Or what about the idea of community? Have you ever heard someone be a little bit hesitant of that term? Sometimes we just got to dig a little bit deeper. They had all things in common in Acts 2. They were a community of believers. They were people who believed Jesus Christ, and they came together, and they came together in such a strong way that when people were in need, they sold possessions, and they helped out those who were in need. They were a community of believers. Nothing wrong with that word at all. And then I think I've brought this one up before. The term Eucharist. Oh man, I've heard a lot of things said about that word. But it's interesting to me that it's actually right there in Jesus' actions in Luke 22 and other parts of the gospel when it says he gave thanks before breaking the bread and handing out the fruit of the vine. That's the word Eucharist right there. It's right there in the text. And what I want us to see is just to step back for a second and see how sometimes we can have these thoughts, or we can get into this mold where we begin thinking that certain things are denominational. We begin promoting those ideas or saying those words about some phrase or about some term when really it's just not true at all. And ironically, it's kind of doing the same sort of thing that denominationalism does. It's kind of creating this unwritten code. It's creating some of these laws that now we have to teach people. And so sometimes it even gets to the point where it's elevated to the point of the gospel itself, that we have to instruct people in all these various issues and make sure they understand everything in just the right way before they can obey Jesus Christ. And I will say there is nothing more denominational than that. We can preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we can teach people the gospel, and we can baptize them into Jesus Christ if they never know any other issue in the world at that point. And then as they are committed to study, as they are committed to searching the Word of God, they will see the truth. And they will come to a greater knowledge of the truth, as hopefully we all are trying to do. And so we have to speak accurately, graciously. And then along with that, we have to avoid vagueness and confusion. Really, this kind of feeds out of the last point. But using denominational language is kind of odd when we reject denominationalism. And in fact, that's really what we're doing. We say something like, I'm Church of Christ. That is very denominational. It's using this label or this concept. We're kind of identifying ourselves in this way that is much like denominationalism. And it's very confusing to people when we say something like that and then we let it pass, or they say something like that about us and we just let it go and we don't say anything else about it. And I realize it's difficult. It's not easy. Sometimes it doesn't seem like the appropriate time to get into this kind of discussion, and maybe it's not sometimes, and you deal with it later. But I think it's something that we have to be aware of and try to not promote this confusion, not only with people in the world, but sometimes with our young people or those who are babes in Christ who hear us speak in this sort of way, and it sounds a whole lot like the sorts of things people are saying in the denominational world. And so maybe instead of saying the Church of Christ teaches, how about the Bible teaches? Or God's people believe? Or instead of, and this is kind of a big one, instead of he's a Church of Christ preacher, how about just a gospel preacher? Or maybe just minister? Or servant? Instead of, are they a Church of Christ? Now, we're wondering. Maybe we've met somebody, and we've made this kind of acquaintance, and so we go to someone, hey, are they Church of Christ? You know. How about, are they faithful Christians? Do you know this person? Are they a saint? Are they a holy one? Are they part of God's people? Not only are these alternatives less confusing, they're actually scripturally accurate and sound. They are speaking of things in the way that actually the Bible speaks of them. And I do realize that just like Assembly of God or Congregation of Christ, that the word Church of Christ can be used in an appropriate and accurate way. But what I'm asking myself and asking all of us to do is think, am I actually doing that? And what are other people hearing when I say it the way I'm saying it? What's the idea that I'm promoting? What is the concept I'm giving? Am I missing opportunities? Our message, the message of Scripture that we believe and that we confess, it's so appealing to so many people. I actually just saw something not too long ago. It was talking about what is the biggest thing in churches right now. And of course, in the article, it gave all kinds of lead-in to make you think it was going to be all number of things. But when it came down to it, the biggest thing in churches right now was scriptural preaching. That's what people want. If that's not what we're getting here, I sure hope you'll come talk to me and you'll come talk to Jeff. And anyone else who's up here preaching and teaching, I hope you'll come talk to us and say, you're not doing scriptural preaching, because we need to know. But I really hope that we can say with confidence that what we're trying to do here is preach Scripture. That we're trying to preach truth. We have something that people want. And I'm not interested in converting people to the Church of Christ in that denominational sense. What I'm really interested in is leading people to Jesus Christ. Leading people to the message of the gospel as we find it in Scripture. Soul, a Savior thou art needing, not soul, the Church of Christ thou art needing. It's not this denominational concept and structure that so often gets promoted in the world around us in all avenues, in all thoughts of life that we can very easily buy into and to begin speaking the language of. That's not what we need to promote. It's the message of a Savior. And the good news of his message as he's given to us, that we can promote to the world and tell them there is an answer. There is an answer for eternal life. There is an answer for the purpose of who they are and what they need to be. And it is found here in this book. And what we're trying to do, to the best of our ability, is follow that book. And that's what brings us together here in a night like this. Because we are Jesus Christ. We are his people. And we want to do his will, and we want to honor him. And we want to demonstrate that in our life, in everything that we do. Are you Church of Christ? Well, I hope that you're a saint. That's what I hope. And I hope that I'm a saint. Because that's what we're called to be. That's what Scripture says. We're called to be holy ones. I hope that we believe that we worship with people devoted to the Lord. And I really hope that our comfort doesn't rest merely on the name that's out on a sign that might make us feel kind of good, but that it rests on the Savior of the world, who gave his life for the sins of all humanity, who was sent by a gracious Father who loves us and wants to redeem us. He wants to take us from that sinful state, and he wants to reconcile us back to him. And he loves us so much. He created us in his image, and he loves us so much that he doesn't want to see us lost. He wants all of us to come to repentance. He wants all of us to devote ourselves to him and to worship him and honor him in our life and to give him our all. And it could be tonight that you want that. And maybe you just need answers. And you can come talk to me. You can come talk to somebody else. And we would love to guide you to answers. The answers are here. We're just the mouthpiece. We're just the deliverer. We just hold the book and we just open the pages. But they're right here in this book. And the reality is, if you'll open it and you'll read it, you don't even have to have anybody else. You can come to the knowledge of the truth right here in God's word. And I appeal to you tonight to do that. It could be that you're a part of this group already. Maybe you're a member here. Maybe you're part of the body of Christ. And you've had doubts. You've had concerns. Maybe your faith is struggling and you need some help. You can come ask for help. We have 10 elders here who are ready to help you. They're shepherds of this flock. They want to bring you back on the narrow road. Can we help you do that tonight? Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?